We have Anne Arundel, County Executive Lauren Newman, here in studio, and we're talking about her now being 8 months in office, what she's encountered, bringing her business life now into the political life. But another part about you, County Executive, that really was kind of caught a lot of people's attention is your own personal story and the fact that you were open and related what happened in your own personal life with your own abuse that you went through. And I just want to talk about that because that's another part that compels people to want to look at Lauren Newman.
Well, thank you. I actually am very open about it because I just feel really fortunate. I'm grateful for the life I've lived. And as I like to say, I could only live my life in this country. So, you know, it's a combination of my personal and professional story. Certainly, there were a lot of challenges growing up. And then, of course, the rape case has been very public. I have to say, I have no regrets about choosing to be public about it. If I hadn't been public about it, you know, a show wouldn't have been done about my case and we wouldn't have solved 12 more cases. So it was an opportunity to give back to the community, and it's an important crime, and 1 in 3 women is raped or sexually assaulted in their lifetime, and I think it's an important topic.
It's affected my family and met probably, you know, most people's families listening, but I think that's also, when you talk about transparency in government, you're transparent also with yourself, and I think that's kind of what people feel. When they walk up to you, it's just, we were talking about it a moment ago, you're talking about, talk with them at the grocery store or wherever. There's a difference, I think, when they see you, County Executive, than they see others, because you're open with what you say.
I am. I like people. I mean, I just find everyone to have an interesting story. I've never met a person who didn't have an interesting story. And they're so kind. They come up and say, thank you. And one woman came up and said, thank you for bringing heart back to our community. It's just incredibly gratifying, and it's like fuel for me. It keeps me going every day.
All right. All the nice stuff out the way. RK County Executive. Are you running for anything that you want to talk about now? You're only 8 months in office. What about the county executive's race?
Well, you know, I was asked the question whether I was going to run or not, and I just believe in being open. It would have been disingenuous to say that I wasn't. We haven't done a formal announcement or any of that, but that will come in due time. But because my focus at the moment is on running the county. But of course, I'll run next year. Absolutely. If we could have gotten all this work done in 22 months, if everything could have been done in 22 months that needed to be done, I would very, very graciously step aside. But the truth is, it's just not enough time.
Statewide office, just heard Bill begging, going into the news, Bill begging for you to run. Now, I've talked about being a Republican running in this state is pretty much a dream or a nightmare, depending on how you want to look at it, because it's not going to happen either way, unless there is a candidate who appeals to the other side. Could Lauren Newman, sometime down the road, see herself running for governor?
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Right now, I need to focus on my home county and make sure that's running well. And once we bring that into this century and we have it on track and we've had a strong track record there and turned it around and made sure that we've done it in a fiscally responsible way, then, you know, I'll think about the future. But to be really candid about it, I didn't give it much thought stepping into office in Anne Arundel County. I didn't come in with a future plan. It wasn't a stepping stone to another opportunity. It's really about what doing what I think is right and serving the community as long as it serves the community well. And if I can play a bigger role down the road and that makes sense, then certainly we'll take a look at that. But right now, I want to make sure that our county is taken care of.
410-467-WBAL, toll-free long distance is 1-800-767-WBAL, Verizon Star WBAL, AT&T pound WBAL. Text me, 8850. Now, you can also follow me on Twitter at C4 Show. If you have questions for the county executive, give us a call. You've tried to tackle something that every now county leader, city leader is trying to deal with, and that is the pension obligations in your county. Talk about where you are in that process.
Well, I've said many times, did they save all the really tough issues for me? It seems like there have been many challenging problems in front of us in county government, but the retiree health care program is front and center right now. We are on a path to about a $1.3 billion, certainly north of $1 billion unfunded liability, and that equals future deficit. So we just can't stay there, understanding that the county government only controls about 35% of the budget, and it's a $1.2 billion budget. There's no way we can fund that liability. And so if you look at the program itself, you're vested in that program in as short as 5 years. So you can work for county government in Anne Arundel County for 5 years, be fully vested in this retiree health care plan, which is an 80% subsidy for you and your spouse and dependent children for the rest of your life once you retire. Put your 5 years in and then go do something else. In some cases, go to a surrounding county and get paid a higher salary where they might not have as generous a retiree health care plan. So you've already vested in ours and the county ends up footing the bill. It's just unsustainable, and so we have to fix it. It's a 30-year-old problem. We've known about it for 30 years in county government. It's certainly been front and center for 10 years as a result of GASB 45, and we have to deal with it.
So when you say deal with it, one of the problems, of course, is going to be public employee unions and having to deal with changing something that they've kind of counted on. Is it something that you look forward maybe to new people coming in? Is it a mixture of going after those at a certain age? I mean, how do you stop this train wreck?
Well, we looked at only applying the change to new employees or new hires. The truth is that just doesn't solve the problem.
Right.
It makes no dent in the big number of north of $1 billion. So it was a requirement that we address it with current employees as well. Current retirees are not quite as impacted as current employees. And the real impact is that we have, you know, lengthened the vesting schedule. It's not 5 years anymore. It starts at 10 and goes to 30 years. So ultimately, you can vest in a very good 80% match, but you have to stay with county government for a longer period of time.
What do you see right now, some of the most important issues? You talk about the pension problem that you're facing right now in front of you. You're dealing, of course, with your budget and how to deal, get through your budget. What are some of the pressing issues you see right now in Anne Arundel County?
Well, we are extraordinarily inefficient in county government. We are a fiscally conservative county. We live within a revenue cap. It's very difficult to understand how the revenue cap is calculated each year, but at the end of the day, it means that we are, you know, tied to the rate of inflation in our budget, and particularly on property tax revenue. And so because of that, we've been reactive instead of proactive. I absolutely believe in living within our means. I live within my means. I think county government should live within its means. And we will live within our means, but we'll also make dramatic change in how we operate county government. It's $1 billion-plus organization every year, and we should run it like it's an organization.
When you say running like it's an organization, does that mean cuts? I mean, because whenever people hear county leaders or city leaders talking, or state leaders, a cut to the increase is a cut as opposed to an actual cut. Where are you looking to maybe cut in your county?
Well, I think there's a tendency to throw people at the problem when things aren't going well, and I just don't believe that that's the challenge that we have. We might have that in fire and police. You know, our police department could use some additional staffing, and our fire department, we're required because of binding arbitration to increase staffing there. So the firefighters prevailed in binding arbitration, and you know, I'm a fairly practical person. That was a decision that was made, and we have to work within that decision. And so we are required to hire 100 new firefighters to fully staff the fourth shift. Plus, you really don't want someone who's, well into their overtime shift coming to respond to
right.
a heart attack. And so since we're required to staff the fourth shift, we're going to do that. In the past, it's been staffed on overtime, and that's just not good public safety. But in the rest of the operation in county government, you know, we have a lot of staff and really dedicated staff. But what we don't have are basic tools or systems to do the job and do it well. So there's a tendency, if you don't have any business experience, to think that you automatically need to hire new people. Several hundred positions have been cut in the last couple of years. You will not see a lot of them replaced. Instead, we'll invest in basic systems and tools to do the job.